I hope that you have been really challenged to look at the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ once again in a fresh new way and perhaps learn even greater lessons along the way. I think we begin to realize that the teachings of the Lord Jesus are very deep, profound, and yet very direct, pointed, personal. The challenge is to let these parables become very real, personal, and precious to our hearts so that we can learn lessons that will stand us in good stead for all our life. Now, we have been looking at the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning his second coming. And this is actually an important theme for us to consider very carefully. And as we consider this theme once again, we take a look at the challenge of making ourselves ready, as it were, preparing ourselves so that we can be faithful, we can be found diligent in whatever the Lord has entrusted us with, and then to hopefully one day hear his "well done, good and faithful servant." Today's parable, we may call it an extended parable. It's an extended parable in the sense of the fact that it really rides on the theme of the second coming of Christ, but perhaps not anything particularly focused, as it were, with reference to duties being entrusted or expectations from the master of the servants. But even more fundamental is the challenge to examine once again the idea of our salvation. How can we be very sure that we belong to the Lord, we are his children, we have salvation, and we can be very assured that the return of the Lord Jesus Christ would not be something that would cause us to feel that we're having a nightmare? And so this extended parable is sometimes called the parable of the sheep and goats. And we need to study this in the light of the other parables. We have the wise and foolish virgins, and that parable reminds us of how we ought to be diligent and not be unwise, not be foolish. Two related parables, minas and talents, remind us that we have to be very careful that we don't end up being lazy or being wicked, neglecting what we need to do as the Lord has entrusted us. And as we take a look at these parables, we begin to realize that the focus ultimately is on how the Lord will judge us, how the Lord will look at us. Well, there is an even more, is an even graver situation at hand, and that is the ultimate judgment. And this is something that we need to look at. This time, it is with reference to salvation particularly. And so we need to take a look at this parable and ask ourselves seriously, have we really come to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ? How would we know for sure that we have come to know the Lord? Well, in Matthew 25, from verses 31 to the end of the chapter, we see and we read about the few features. One, the return of the Son of Man. The Lord Jesus Christ's favorite title for himself is simply the Son of Man. And because he addresses himself as a Son of Man, a lot of people take for granted that he is just a man like anybody else. But actually, this term, Son of Man, is more than just a humble term. It is a term that is associated with the Messiah. It is a term that is found in the book of Daniel, and it is a term that describes the Lord Jesus Christ in his glory, even though he was called the Son of Man. And this is that Son of Man that we read about in Matthew 25, 31. Who is this Son of Man? On this earth, his glory was actually veiled. Nobody really saw his glory unless they looked a little bit harder, looked a little bit deeper, and they would see his glory. It is miracles. It is life. It is teachings. But the ordinary person who doesn't look very hard, that person will not see the glory of the Lord. But when he comes back, everyone will see his glory. Recognizing his glory then might well be too late. And so we read about his return in glory. We read 25:31. He will return in glory, clearly stated. And that glory will be enhanced further by the company of holy angels that will attend him. They will come with him, and he will be sitting on a throne of glory. This is a description of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. To those who believe in him, to those who know him, this is a very, very joyous moment, because it is a time when we see the Lord Jesus coming in a fullness that is his, that deserves to be given to him. Well, who will be the ones who will be standing before the Lord? There are actually two groups of people. Of course, those who know him, those who are believers, those who are his children, they will be there. But so will all the nations of the world be there. Well, we now see the second feature. Right? 25:32, we read, all the nations will be gathered before him. What else will be done there? He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. This title here, this phrase here, became the title of this particular parable. Now, what does it mean, this idea of separation? Well, we read further. In verse 33, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And this is where the separation begins. So what do these things mean? Well, let's take a look further. Right? And the extended parable goes on to see, to say that the king, that is the Son of Man, will say to those on his right hand. And these are precious words. They are not different from the idea of commendation of the servants. They are actually very similar in more ways than one. But the focus here is just simply that they belong to the Lord, that they are the Lord's. And those who are truly the Lord's will also be naturally desirous to be faithful, to be diligent, to be fruitful in all that have been entrusted to them. And the Lord, the king said this, I come, you blessed of my Father, as one. They are called blessed of the Father. Two, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The Lord knows those who are his. And then the explanation for this word of commendation. The focus is right now not so much on the work done for the Lord. The focus is here simply that we are the Lord's children. In verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. That's two. Three, I was a stranger and you took me in. 4, I was naked and you clothed me. 5, I was sick and you visited me. 6, I was in prison and you came to me. Now, that is an amazing statement. How do we understand this? Right? This is something that we want to take a look at. There were 6 different things stated. Now, you don't have to be able to do all 6. But the point of it all is that the Son of Man explains why he commended them for what they commended them for what they did. Now, the righteous then answered, and they said to him, Lord, when did we see you? Now, that was their focus. In other words, they actually did not recognize or see, as it were, the person who was whom the Lord described as himself. They did not see the Lord Jesus Christ, actually. And this is, so they raise this question. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? They could not recollect such a moment. When were you thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? When did we see you naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick? Or you were in prison and we come to you? Technically, the Lord Jesus Christ did not actually appear to them. And yet, the Lord said this was actually done. Perhaps this may be better understood if we take a little bit of time to think about it very carefully. And the king will answer and say to them, remember, this is now the idea of he is the king. Okay? And first, there is a commendation of the king in verse 34. And then with verse 40, again, he is mentioned, this is the king. And this king is, in fact, the Son of Man. This is very much a fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy, that the Son of Man would be given a kingdom. And in this kingdom, he will make all the judgments to separate the sheep from the goats, to command the righteous, to give word of blessing to them, to welcome them into the kingdom. All these things are just absolutely wonderful things. The problem is the righteous cannot actually pinpoint a time when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to them personally. So what does this mean? Well, the king explains. Assuredly, I say to you, verse 40, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Now, that is absolutely amazing. Now, there is a story told of a man called Francis of Assisi. And one day, this dear man saw a leper on the street. At that point of time, before he became a missionary, he was actually a very wealthy person. Came from a very rich family. And then one day he saw a leper on the street. Now his reaction was something that bewildered all his friends and all the people around him. He was dressed in his finery. He was dressed in very costly clothing, and he saw a leper. And the first thing he did was to go to the leper and give him a hug, physically. Secondly, he took off his rich robes and gave it to the man who was in rags. Now, that was an amazing story. The challenge is, how do we see these things here? Well, here is a person, is an example to us. What does it mean? And the consciousness that the Lord wanted them to be aware of is that there will always be people who are poor, the people who are in need, there are people who could do with a word of encouragement. If we learn to care for them, it is almost like that of caring for the Lord Jesus Christ personally. Now, that is quite a statement. Now, as we take time to think about these things here, we are absolutely astonished. There is another story told about a man called Martin Auteuil. And he was actually a Roman soldier. And as he was walking along the road, there came a person who was a beggar. And then this beggar came to him who was dressed in a very, very poor. He was shivering from the cold. And here was a Roman with all his finery, with a nice big coat keeping him warm. When this beggar came to him asking for some alms, well, what this soldier did was to cut up his robe in two and then gave half the robe to this poor beggar. One night, Martin had a dream. And in his dream, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ was dressed with half a robe. And so he said to the Lord, "Why are you dressed in only half a robe? Why are you dressed so poorly? You are the king." And then in this story, the Lord said, "You were the one who gave me half the robe." You see, the challenge of it all is to look at life and to look at these examples. They could be legends, they could be stories, but they have a lesson to teach us. What is that lesson? This is exactly what the Lord said. The righteous are not just simply those who believe and are declared righteous. Those who are truly declared righteous are righteous in their own right. If there are duties assigned to them, they are righteous in their diligence in serving God. If they are righteous, if they can do something for anybody, you know what? They will do just that. And we thank God for the people who do things like that, the kindness of their heart. And this is something that we want to consider. And we read these words in the most wonderful way. If I were to take a look at how the Lord has blessed us in so many ways, it is important for us as a church to continue to express our love, our care, our concern for those who are far less fortunate than we are. There are many who are in Myanmar, there are many who are in India, and they have needs. And the needs are actually very fundamental. They're very, basic. Food, clothing, hospital bills to be paid, and such like. What can we do for them? If we truly understand righteousness at all, and if we truly belong to the Lord, it should be the most natural thing to care for people. And thank God that there are so many in Bethany who are doing just that. Let's be among those who will, in righteousness, care for people in the most natural way. But then the king addressed those who were on the left hand. Verse 41. "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, not blessed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Now, that is a very severe judgment. Verse 42, "For I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer him, saying, "Lord, When did we see you hungry or thirsty, a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? If they knew that it was truly the Lord Jesus Christ himself, they would have done anything and everything if it is for the Lord Jesus Christ himself personally. And the reply of the Lord was there. And we see this. Then he will answer them. Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous will have eternal life. Now, this is a very straightforward parable, and yet there are lessons that we must learn. Who are the righteous? Now, we often take for granted that we are saved since we believe in the Lord. The focus here is not so much on the word believing, nor is it about faith, although they are not unimportant. The challenge is to ask ourselves whether, if we believe, and that belief actually makes us, helps us to practice righteousness. A declaration of righteousness given to us makes us justified, saved. We know that we can speak of salvation. But is that salvation true in the very first place? And if that is true, it will actually appear, make its manifestation in the things that we do, the things that we say, the things that are a part of our life naturally. See, it is important that we read Romans 5:1, for example, we are justified by faith. Or Romans 4:3 that talks about imputed righteousness. How wonderful it is to read Romans 8 that there is no condemnation. All those things are true insofar as its doctrinal statements are concerned. The challenge, however, is not to know a fact, but to know a truth. The challenge is not just to have knowledge, but to see that knowledge practiced in our life naturally. And within our hearts, there should be a natural heart of compassion and concern. And it must express itself in practical care for those who are in need. How can we speak of faith in God whom we cannot see, and yet when there are people we can see and we simply do not care for them at all? The danger, it lies in what the Lord Jesus Christ described as hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is to speak of faith in God, believe in God, and all the right doctrines, but there is nothing to show for that in our life. This is a challenge that we must ask ourselves. If we do not see any kind of righteousness, any kind of righteous deeds from within our hearts, then we are not going to see clearly, firmly, that we belong to the Lord. And the challenge of it all is so absolutely vital. It is important that we know the truth of our salvation for a fact. This is something that we want to consider, and this is something that we don't want to take for granted in any way. So what about the unrighteous? They may think that they have come to faith. They may even be able to call the Son of Man Lord. They may have the right words, and they may feel and they believe that they are saved. They come to church, they come to Sunday school, their friends are Christians, they know the Sunday school teachers well, they go out for fellowship, and they have good friends. And yet, none of these things equate to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the best way of knowing that we truly belong to the Lord and we are His children? The best way is to examine our hearts and our life. And I think all of us ought to be challenged to consider this. Why are we doing what we are doing? Supposing there is a need, and I think this is something that we want to look at. If there is a need, and I am myself greatly personally challenged, and I ask myself time and again, what should I do? I think there are times when people ask for help monetarily. Some people ask for help because they could be in India, they could be in Myanmar, they could be in Kenya, Africa, it could be anywhere. And then they come up with a need and they said, Pastor, we are really badly in need. Can you help us? Well, the challenge is to ask ourselves, what's our response? What's my own personal response? Right? The challenge is to be able to respond as we should, as we were meant to care, to express that righteousness, to reach out a hand, to remember the poor, to remember what the Lord Jesus said, to remember this particular parable. And this is what it is. And as you bear this in mind, you tell yourself, I am doing this for you, Lord. I am doing this because I honor you, I love you, and I know what you have said, and I want to do this for you. This is the best way to check our salvation, whether it is true or whether it is not. The best way is to check our life, what we do, and there will always be those who are in need. Now, we got to watch out for scams. There's no question about that. What helps me is to remember what the Lord Jesus said. Whatever you do to the least of these, my brethren, if we help a friend, and this is a dear friend, it's not a problem. Your friend will help you in time to come. The challenge is to be able to do this to the least of people. They have no status, they have no name, they have no money, they have nothing to speak of. And yet, we will do it, and we will do it consistently, we will do it diligently. It's not a one-off thing. Wherever there is opportunity, if there are funds available, let's just do it. This would be a very good indication as to whether we understand salvation or we don't. And so this extended parable of the sheep and the goats must remind us to check ourselves. If the Lord Jesus were to return in his glory as the Son of Man, as the King of Kings, where would we be? Will we be at his right hand among the sheep? Or will we be on the left hand among the goats? It's very hard to tell from afar whether they're sheep or they're goats, actually. But when close up, as a shepherd comes by, he will be able to distinguish between the sheep and the goats very easily. How do we know whether we are sheep or we are goats? Well, this is the litmus test, as it were. This is the way we can check our hearts. Can we practice these things that the Lord has taught us, to care for people? And this is absolutely amazing. Is there someone hungry you know? Can you help that person? Is there someone who is thirsty? Would you give that person drink? Is there a person who is a stranger, a person who needs clothes, the person who is sick, the person who is in prison, as it were? Can we reach out a hand to help that person? If the answer is yes, then this is what the Lord will say to us. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. May God bless us to be truly among the sheep of the flock of the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. We thank you that we can truly be counted among those who are truly saved, with righteousness given to us by you. And Father, we pray that you will teach us to see the reality of that salvation affecting the way we live, affecting our hearts, our mind, affecting our deeds, affecting the funds that we may have. Help us to reach out to people and to care for others. And we pray that you will help us always to have such a heart. We pray for your blessings. Encourage our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.